love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Yo, Nicole.
What's up, Rolando?
How imaginative were you when you were a toddler?
A toddler? I don't remember that far back.
Yeah, neither do I. So I rely on the Rugrats to tell me how imaginative I was, because I want to imagine that I had the same types of adventures that they used to have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice imagination you got there.
Right? Like, I'm just imagining dinosaurs. I'm imagining deserts. I'm imagining, you know, giant babies that are mobsters, you know?
Mm-hmm. Robots and
robots zombies. Attacking us. Yeah. All good stuff.
Yeah. All the stuff we think about when we're like one.
Yeah, exactly. One or two. I think the oldest baby in the Rugrats is 3-year-old Angelica. And I think that qualifies as a toddler. I don't know. I'm not a father, so I can't say. But perhaps our listeners out there who are parents who grew up with the Rugrats, were you aware that there is a new Rugrats?
Can you believe
it? That premiered not that long ago on Paramount Plus. Wow, the options we have for streaming is just like staggering at this point.
Yeah.
Who can keep up? How do we pay for this? I don't even know.
Seriously. I saw a commercial too that was like, people think they only spend about $80 on like platforms like that, where they spend closer to $200 a month. Isn't that crazy?
Jeez, that is crazy. And everyone thinks they're saving money.
Yeah, everyone thinks they're saving money. It's a fucking trick, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
But we are talking about the Rugrats today. Paramount Plus is really, you know, pandering to the Nickelodeon generation. We're going to be talking a bunch about them this year. So stay tuned for more Paramount Plus Nickelodeon things. But today we're starting off with Rugrats, the original Nickelodeon series and this new Paramount Plus reboot that literally just dropped May 27th, 2021. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality. Question. Rugrats. Is this a revival or is this a reboot?
I think it's a revival.
Because it's the same characters.
Well, it might be technically a reboot.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of the voice actors did come back, right? We still got E.G. Daly, who's being Tommy Pickles, and Nancy Cartwright, who's doing mm-hmm. Chunky Finster. So, you know, in that sense, it's a revival, but they did change certain things.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so I think it's a reboot because of the changes.
Yeah.
Now, I thought the whole child cast was the original.
I think at least all the children are definitely
all
the
children. I think the original, and then all the parents are new actors, which include my girl Nicole Byer as Susie's mom.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know who she is a comedian, and she's also the host of my favorite show. Eddie nailed it. Never mind. Nailed it.
Yeah.
I love that show. And
Orlando,
Nicole,
you forgot my name.
That's it. Perfect Nicole Byer impression. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anyone else famous in this new one or?
Tony Hale.
Who is he?
I think he's either Chucky's dad or Grandpa Lou.
He is Chucky's dad. Look at that.
Chucky's dad. Wow. There you go. Yeah, you can't tell because he really nasals up that voice.
Yeah, he really does. Oh, and Michael McKean is Lou Pickles?
I don't know who that is.
Lou Pickles is a...
No, I know who Lou Pickles is. I don't know who the actor...
Oh, you don't know Michael McKean? Oh, my gosh. If you look at his face, you'll know him. He's the bad guy in the Brady Bunch movie. This is how you'll know him.
Oh, okay. I do know him. Yes. Wait. No. I thought that was one of the actual Bradys.
No, the bad guy, the next door neighbor who wants to sell their house.
Oh, him. Okay, got it. All right. Yeah. Vaguely remember him now.
Yeah. Lesso. Oh, Lesso? Really?
Lesso. Yeah. Okay, I remember not Brian McKnight. The Brady. It was the actual Brady who played the love interest to...
You're thinking of a very Brady sequel.
That one, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think he was a better villain because he was a villain.
Oh, no. Well, I prefer the first movie overall, so...
Oh, no, for sure. I just think he was a better villain.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're not talking about that. I'm just telling you who Michael McKean is. And he does a voice for the Rugrats. I watched I watched the shit out of the Rugrats when I grew up. I was a Nickelodeon kid. I never watched Disney Channel. And anything that was on Nickelodeon, I watched.
It's so funny. I think I had phases, right? I think my first foray into child, once we got cable, right? It was mostly Nickelodeon that I was watching. Mm-hmm. But eventually, Disney was bringing it with, like, Even Stevens, Lizzie McGuire, Kim Possible.
Never
like,
they
were,
any those of
were,
that.
Oh, those were so fucking good. And I think that's when I Nickelodeon was only relying at that point, I think, only on the Rugrats and SpongeBob.
No, see, SpongeBob came in the late 90s, right? So,
that sounds, yeah.
But
then he was, like, popular throughout the early aughts.
Yes, it was. But I'm talking, so when I grew up and I was watching Nickelodeon, it was throughout the 90s, right? And Rugrats was, you know, it debuted in 1991. So it was, like, the mm-hmm. entire 90s. I'm mm-hmm. talking, like, I watched Kablam. I watched Hey Arnold. Because Hey Arnold was 1994.
It's like, I'm so, like, impartial to that show.
I loved Hey Arnold, man. Those were...
Yeah, no, a lot of people do.
Yeah, I watched Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Of course,
I watched All That, which we did cover. Yeah, I watched, I mean, everything. Salute Your Shorts. Hey, Dude.
Oh.
Rocko's Modern Life, which we also did cover.
Which I wasn't there again.
Yeah, I wasn't that.
All right. So I
was hardcore. I just watched Nickelodeon. Except the only time I changed the channel was for Power Rangers, which we also covered.
Yes, we did. And that was basic television.
That was, yeah. So this is pretty much my childhood. Rewatching mm-hmm. some of these episodes for the podcast, I just like, it's like, whew, it all hit me like, oh my God, I remember this. I remember being in my grandmother's room and her mm-hmm. putting like butter on saltine crackers as a snack for me.
Oh, look at that.
That's nice.
Yeah. That is such a Hispanic.
It's such a, yeah. Like,
that was, oh my God. I could even remember the taste of that.
Yeah, it was the most delicious snack in the world. Like just watching like TV right before my parents came and got me with my grandma mm-hmm. making me those snacks are some of my fondest memories.
Nice.
But yeah, so wait, you watched it or?
I did. I watched the shit out of Rugrats. I don't remember at what point I waned off because I definitely stopped watching while they were still airing new episodes.
Yeah, me too.
And I want to say that it was by the time that Kimmy, which would become Chucky's stepsister, I guess that's another argument as to why this would be a reboot, is kind of when I stopped. And it's not that I had anything against Kimmy's character, because I watched the movie actually in the theaters, right?
Yeah, me too.
But I didn't, I just, you know, at that point I was already kind of growing up. I can't even tell you how old I was, but physically,
yeah,
I felt like I was an adult.
I was nine, almost 10.
I was
10.
Not.
Yeah.
So,
like, you know, I definitely saw the first Rugrats movie in theaters. I don't think I saw the second one.
Oh, I did. My mom, because my mom loved the Rugrats. Right? She loved watching that with us. Her favorite character were Chucky and Angelica. I think Angelica was for sure her favorite one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I even, actually, when we went down to Cape May last year, I found my mom an Angelica ornament, and she loved it because she loved Angelica.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's her favorite. It was her favorite Rugrat and stuff. So we did see that movie in the theaters, and it was, you know, a cute movie.
Yeah, I kind of remember it. I mean, well, no, actually, I think I did see the second one because that's when they went to Paris, right?
It's Paris. You have a Cruella de Vil-like character, which we just covered last week.
Yes, we did. Wow, we've covered a lot of things from our youth, like growing up in the 90s. So
I mean, that's literally what our podcast is about. That's why we can speak to these things, because we grew up with a lot of them.
This is true.
Sometimes, usually.
Well, you know, so growing up in the 90s, I mean, what were some of the shows that kids were watching other than the Rugrats? I think, you know, I think of 90s TV. I think of like Barney. Barney. I think Barney is one of the more famous ones. Animaniacs, which we also covered. Arthur, which I watched.
I loved Arthur. It's so funny rewatching the Rugrats for this podcast made me think of Arthur for some reason. And I actually just listened to the theme song on my YouTube.
Oh, it's such a good song. Yeah. Yeah.
By Ziggy Marley. Is that his name?
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's Bob Marley's son. So I would.
Yeah.
That
okay.
Would
so he's the one who performs the Arthur song.
That's great. Look at that. Doug. You know, these are, I feel like, some of the shows that people were watching.
All right,
in the
unpopular
90s.
Opinion.
You didn't like Doug.
No, I prefer Doug Disney. Disney's Doug.
Oh, yeah, that's a real unpopular opinion.
That is a very unpopular opinion. I'm very well aware of this, but I do prefer Disney's Doug.
Wow. I never watched it. So I, again, strictly when it was on Nickelodeon, I watched it. After it left, it didn't exist anymore. Yeah. So, you know, if you're one of those people who didn't grow up in the 90s or just wasn't watching this kind of television, we should tell you probably a little bit about what the Rugrats is. The Rugrats is a television show about five kids, right? And they're all together. They're like, there's Tommy, who's the main character. And he's kind of mm-hmm. like the leader of his gang of kids that hang out. And they all just kind of like have play dates and stuff together. Because other than his cousin Angelica, they're not really related.
Play dates is a very strong.
Yeah, like I guess their parents are all best friends or something. But they're like, you know,
the parents literally just drop off those kids to whoever volunteers to babysit.
Yeah, it's kind of like before preschool, you know.
Yeah.
So there's Tommy Pickles. He's, yeah, like I said, he's the leader. He's the idealist. There's Chunky Finster, who's, you know, the war.
Chunky?
Chucky.
Oh, I heard you say Chunky.
Stop projecting.
Wow. Wow. Meow. Okay.
Well,
podcast over.
Well, you joined, Rolando recently joined a weight loss thing, even though he's lost tons of weight and he looks fantastic. He must think that he needs to lose more weight since he's joining this 8-week thing that he's giving up alcohol and stuff. So
I want people to look at me and be like, wow, are you sick? That's my goal.
Oh, okay.
And then they go to Eddie and they're like, does he have a cocaine problem?
That's great. Sorry to the people with actual cocaine addictions.
Sorry. Yes. Or eating disorders. I'm not taking light of it, but, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's just a fitness journey. Sorry guys, if I offended.
So back to Chucky.
Chucky. Chucky Finster.
Yeah. He's a worrywart. He's insecure. He's scared. You know, he's definitely just like a little, he's like that kind of character. There's twins, Phil and Lil. And they're very eccentric and they're just down for anything. They're more of the risk takers and they are kind of questionable. They like to eat worms and that kind of stuff. You know, they're just kind of.
And they're a little more cynical.
They are. They're
like the more cynical ones compared to the rest of the gang.
They're definitely the most eccentric and they're the weirdos in quotation marks.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there is Angelica. She's older than them, right? She's no longer in diapers and like, you know, she's for the most part, she's three. So she's over that stage of being a baby. She can actually communicate with the adults, whereas they cannot.
Right. And she is like the barrier.
Mm-hmm. And she's just mm-hmm. like, you know, your typical spoiled little girl.
She's daddy's little girl.
Yep. Susie comes in a little bit later as kind of like the anti-Angelica.
And she is the first black baby
yes.
in the show.
Yes, because they're all white.
Black baby.
I think she is the only white baby, yeah. And then later on, when Rolando mentioned a character named Kimmy, Kimmy is an Asian character that we get introduced to.
But you skipped the major baby.
Oh, right. And we also... So, of course, the show goes on for many seasons. This lasted for about 9 seasons. We get introduced to other characters, and one of them being Tommy's brand new brother, even though he's not even I think he's maybe a year old. Like, they got working on the next baby real quick.
Like, I don't think it's qualified as an Irish twin. Is that an Irish twin?
Yeah, it is, because they're born like less than like about a year apart. Yeah.
Well, no, Tommy's already a year.
Yeah. So I think
like that's the very first Irish episode, twin. It is Tommy's first year birthday. So
that's I think that's still Irish twins. Like you'd have to be more than two. But yeah, so his name is Dill Pickles. So
Dill. Get it. Pickle. Cute.
In addition to this, you know, the show's not just about the babies. We actually get a good sense of the parents, and the parents become a big part of the plot too, right? So Tommy is raised by Dee Dee and Stu.
Yes.
I got to get their names right. So let me just get these. Okay. Up.
Chucky is raised by Charles or Chaz Finster.
Yes. Phil and
Lil.
A
single dad.
Mm-hmm.
His mother is confirmed to have passed away. We learned that in a very, very sad Mother's Day episode.
Very sweet.
But yeah, she passed away very early in Chucky's life.
Yes.
He has like very vague memories of her, but that's about it. We don't know actually. I don't think they ever confirmed like how, but
I guess it doesn't matter. So
yeah, it's true. It doesn't matter for the babies because she's just not there.
Mm-hmm.
Phil and Lil's parents are Betty and I forgot who her husband is. Howard?
Yeah, it's Howie. Yeah.
Howie. All right. Howie. Betty and Howie DeVille. And then there is Angelica's parents, Charlotte and
Drew.
Drew, thank you.
Yes. Who actually is voiced by one of my favorite voice actors, Charlotte, because she's a constant voice actor in The Simpsons and Futurama. Her name is Tress McNally. So when I rewatched it, I was just like, oh my God. Like, literally, to me, top tier female voice actors. I really like voice actors. I mm-hmm. wish I could be one. I love putting on voices and stuff.
You probably can. Everyone compliments your voice on our podcast. So. Oh,
why, thank you, listeners.
Yeah. You've got to create characters now.
That's true. Well, so yeah. So, but I just wanted to throw that out there that I really mm-hmm. like them. And so, yeah. So they all are very different dynamic wise. Oh, and then there's the grandpa. There's Grandpa Pickles.
Lou Pickles.
Grandpa Lou. Yeah. So, you know, Tommy's parents, they're kind of yuppie-ish, you would say. You know, they're...
Actually, they're all yuppies. Technically speaking, these...
You even think Betty and Howie are yuppies?
They might be the outliers out of the entire friend group here.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. I know this is going to come up later, but like Betty and Howie were always coded as kind of queer characters, weren't they? Specifically more so Betty. No?
I suppose so. Thoughts? I never
thought of it until later in life. I think I was watching maybe the first Rugrats movies, kind of when maybe I started getting a whiff of it. It's just like, is she lesbian?
So I never thought about that. To be completely really? Honest, I never thought okay. about it. And I haven't really revisited the Rugrats a lot in, like, you know, after I stopped watching it.
Yeah, I would have randomly, occasionally and stuff. Now, I've only seen the movie, I think, maybe a handful of times. But occasionally, I will put on an episode of the original Rugrats. Yeah. Specifically, there Memory were so many life. Episodes that I used to enjoy mm-hmm. randomly. And I would just, like, sometimes I'll put them on in the background and yeah. stuff and just, like, you know, do chores.
That's cute. So for me, I'm like, I'm halfway between like, oh yeah, no, of course. They just couldn't actually make her a lesbian. And then I'm halfway where I'm like, well, you know, just because she was like, because apparently she was a former wrestler, you know, and she's like the dominant one in the relationship. It's like, well, yeah. that doesn't always mean that you're a lesbian. That's also kind of a stereotype of what a lesbian is, you know?
These are true. This is true. You know? Technically, she broke stereotypes by being married to a man.
Yeah. Like, I actually wish that maybe like Dee Dee or Charlotte was the one who was a lesbian, because they're like, you wouldn't expect them to be the lesbians.
Oh, because Charlotte would be a lipstick lesbian.
Yes, they refer to it as lipstick lesbian. But the point is that lesbians, we come in all shades. Like, she's you like, it's almost like it's the stereotype that you look at her and it's like a lesbian. And then they're like, OK, we're just going to give into the stereotype. Like, that's how it kind of feels. I like the fact that there's a lesbian character, but I can't help but shake off that feeling. Like in the new one, we're saying.
We're talking about the new one. Yeah. Not to get ahead of ourselves. But yeah, spoiler, guys. Yeah. There's a lesbian.
She was not intended to be a lesbian in the original. She was, I mean, her husband was, you know, was clearly dominated by her.
Right.
And she's
a very intimidating lady.
And that's great for her. You know, that's a positive thing that she's strong and strong-willed and intimidating. I've been mm-hmm. sometimes referred to as intimidating, and I am a lesbian, so.
Right. Are you the prime example?
I don't know
example
if I'm,
here?
Like, proving this part. All right, so anyway. But the Angelica's parents are definitely, I think, the best sign of not only yuppies, but also, like, that late 80s, early 90s type of, like, person. Because, you know, like, the 80s were all obsessed with, like, suit, you know, like people who, you know, like, were spending a lot of money, who it was all about money, you know, dressing up really nice, like, greed is good mentality. And, like, always on your cell phone and, like, just, like, you know, consumerism central. And I think that Charlotte and her husband definitely.
Drew. Yeah. Charlotte specifically, because I think Charlotte even talks about, like, crashing the stock market and trying to capitalize off of that. She was straight up. She's a snake, you know?
She was, yeah. And what was the name of her company?
I don't remember.
It was called
Omnicorp.
Something like that. Yeah, it was called. It was like, it almost was, you know, it was kind of.
I think that might be from Rocco's Modern Life. But it was one of those like generic. It was a very generic like mega corporation or something.
Yeah, we obviously didn't write this part down, but yeah, she so
yeah, it only shows up so randomly. But like, you occasionally will hear whiffs of like how she is just a die hard, cutthroat capitalist and,
yep,
and
power hungry and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and so, you know, it's nice because you're also getting like your a different portrayal of what it is to be like family with all of these different representations. You know, some of them are single parents. Some of them, the dynamics are completely different at home. You know, it's not like that whole nuclear family thing that, you know, before the 90s, people were brought up with in terms of television, you know, from like the early 50s shows like Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best. But that was like continuing well into the 60s and 70s. And even then, like when things broke that mold, it wasn't anything that was like that crazy. Like a show that we covered was like One Day at a Time.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even though she was a single mother and stuff, it wasn't like, you know, the dynamics, they were presenting a different dynamic other than that, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, the only single family that was there was Charles and Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
Chaz and Chucky, though.
Yeah, but still, like, the like we're talking so much about the dynamics between the parents.
Oh,
and I think
okay,
also
okay,
for,
got it,
like,
got it,
a children's television show, you know, it was, mm-hmm, it was a show that was accurately portraying, you know, how, like, different families can be. Because also, think about some of these 80s TV shows, Family Ties, Growing Pains. You know, they're all just, like, kind of, like, picture-perfect, toothpaste-y kind of families. So, and I wouldn't say that any of the families, even though it's a children's television show, I wouldn't say any of these families are like that, which is, I think, really nice.
Really? Not even, I don't know. I feel like Charlotte and Drew they were couple goals, and that's like life goals, right? They were rich. They were spoiling the shit out of their daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I feel like that would be, if I were a child and I had to pick, like, which household would I want to be a part of, it'd be that one.
You would want to be raised, but you would want to be a spoiled little kid.
Yes. You would not? You think too highly of yourself. I would totally be okay with being a spoiled brat.
But I think too highly of myself. I would not want that, so I don't think too highly about myself. Because then I'd be a spoiled piece of shit.
Oh, I thought you, because you were above that.
No. I would want more humility and stuff. I'm perfectly okay with just being Tommy.
Overrated. Overrated.
Rugrats was so popular that, you know, like we said, 9 seasons it lasted for. And then it spun off another show called Rugrats All Grown Up, which I remember watching the premiere of, because I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, it was a cute concept, if you think about it, right? Like, it's reaching out to a new audience, or kind of aging with the audience it had, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Is this also the time when Dora the Explorer aged up too?
No, this is long before Dora the Explorer got aged up. Yeah. But similar concept.
Yes. Also, we didn't introduce Eddie to today's episode, and so listener, that person who just asked that question is our producer, Eddie Z.
You said listener, like our one single listener.
Thank you.
I just, we sometimes are terrible with that, and I apologize for that, Eddie Z. So.
No problem, guys.
Well, Eddie, did you used to watch Rugrats?
No, I really.
There you go.
I just thought they were so creepy looking.
What?
I was not attracted to the animation.
How could you think? I mean, I think early Tommy was so adorable. No. I think he got creepier looking as like the animation progressed for some reason.
It is clearly very hand-drawn animation, you know, but it is like, it is unique. I can see the creepy element in it, you know, but it never bothered me, I guess, as a kid. So
yeah,
I was used to watching
the bright colors,
crappily drawn things, because it was the 90s. So.
Wow. I'm sure Klasky Supso are going to be so happy to hear what you just said.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be happy to hear you butchering their names, too.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Yeah, we should say that it was created by 3 people. And the people that created it are Arlene Klasky, Gabor Kuspo, and Paul Germain.
I know Klasky Supso. Kuspo.
We don't know, because at the end, it's like their production company and stuff.
Right. It's just like, so. Meh, meh, Klasky Supso.
Yeah.
It'd be like a monster.
Other things that we should mention about the show, because the whole thing is that, like, when the parents aren't there, their imagination goes wild, and we, like, enter the world of their imagination, and, you know, they picture themselves in, like, a jungle or in a movie, or, like, you know, like, to be much older and all this stuff. Like, they really are obsessed with this fake, like, a Godzilla-like creature in their world.
Reptar.
Called Reptar.
Yeah.
And Reptar is, you know, one of my favorite episodes is Reptar on Ice.
Yeah, that is a good one.
That is such a good one. Where they go and they like, you know, they want to be part of this thing and they actually think that the show that's going on is like real. And
they have they found a little lizard in the backyard and they want to bring it to Reptar because they associate Reptar being his dad.
Yes.
And so they end up getting in the middle of the show.
There's a kid on the ice. Yeah.
Yes. Good for you. That's such a good episode. That is a very good episode.
Yeah, it is. What are some other episodes you remember when you think about that?
I remember the one where they go to the movies, right?
Yeah, me too.
They wanted to watch the Reptar movie, but the parents take them to see the Care Bear movie.
Yeah.
Right? and so, like, you know, they're trying to get to that movie. What other ones did I rewatch recently? Oh, Angelica gets put on trial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? For the bicycle thief, I think is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Or the tricycle thief. And Susie has a new tricycle and then it goes missing and she accuses Angelica and Angelica's caught literally red-handed. So as punishment, they send her Cynthia doll up to the sky in balloons. But then they discover, oh my God, no, we made a horrific mistake. She's innocent. And that's actually one of my favorite episodes because you see all the characters' dynamics, including how Susie is the antagonist to Angelica
mm-hmm.
and vice versa, right? Like how they are such foils of each other.
Yeah. And also the lesson there, you know, is like a person is proven should be innocent before proven guilty and whatnot. And like because of Angelica's past behaviors, you know, like people were so quick to judge her.
You know? In the baby's defense, her hands were literally red-handed. There were a lot of circumstantial evidence that really was just not good.
Yes, of course.
For Angelica.
The overall
lesson is
that, but still, yeah.
I think it's part of the legally speaking, right? If we're talking, making a message of the legal system, I think they're saying it's just like, don't trust the police. They fuck up. They fuck up.
Yeah.
There you go. That is my takeaway now as a 2021 rewatch.
I remember the one of Stu sleepwalking.
Oh, I didn't rewatch that one, but I do remember it.
Yeah, I remember that pretty vividly, and how much Tommy wanted to help his dad, you know, who was like talking in his sleep and always sleepwalking, mm-hmm. and he thought that his father was becoming a robot and stuff, and like having. And it's interesting too because like Rolando, you sent me this YouTube link about how there's this video essay which we will include in our show notes. Where they say, you know, like this was a show that came out in 1991. That means Tommy was born in 1990. That means that these characters are millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And that this show was about children who were being raised by another generation, like the boomer generation, more specifically.
Yep.
And it's so interesting because you don't realize when you're a kid when you watch it, but like so much of the show actually was concerned with, you know, anxieties that the parents had. That they were putting onto their children.
Economic concerns.
Economic concerns.
I think that's reflected the most with Chaz.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be why, as a theory, why Chucky is so, has like this, the weight of the world on his shoulders, right? Why he's so full of anxiety.
Yep.
Because his dad is projecting it onto him. Part of it is also how, I think the boomers were the helicopter parenting years, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is
right?
also...
That's why Didi was so, like, heavily involved in, like, you know, bringing in Dr. Lipschitz and who...
Well, this is true. This is also from the generation that completely let their kids go wild and then their kids would be abducted. You know, like, don't, like, you know, kid, just let your kids go to the mall unsupervised, mm-hmm. and stuff. So, yeah, it was... And then it became, like, a 180 where it's like, no, we got to know where our kids are all the time. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like is also more so into play now. I think it was just starting in the 90s. I feel like now people do not let their kids just, like, go to the mall unsupervised.
Yeah. I'd be more terrified of not supervising my kid in their own home with a cell phone than having them go out on a mall. So
oh, 100%.
I think our fears are actually a little different now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like now it's just like, go to the mall. Don't take your phone with you, though.
This is true.
Well, I guess, and how am I going to contact you? A beeper.
A beeper. Yeah. This is a separate argument that I actually would love to have with you because I don't think children should be going anywhere unsupervised, especially girls. But that's, again, you know, another conversation we'll have on a different day.
A bonus episode, maybe.
Maybe,
you tell us if you want it.
Ooh, a Patreon exclusive if we ever start one. But so it's interesting because there are, like, rewatching some of them, you actually get, like, you see just how much of their personalities are shaped by, you know, what their parents are, you know, unknowingly projecting onto them. And
specifically, Angelica, I think, is probably the best example.
Angelica and Chucky, I would say.
And Chucky, yeah.
But, you know.
Angelica, her coldness is, like, a reflection of her parenting.
Yes. Oh,
the
absolutely.
Parenting that she has received, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's this one episode where, in an attempt to get closer to her daughter, you know, she puts Angelica through art classes. And I think in, like, a cry for attention, you know, Angelica kind of, like, paints the whole apartment. But then her mom comes home and is like, oh, I love it. It's so free, you know, freedom of expression. Like, this is art. And Angelica's like, oh, okay.
I thought the babies did it. The babies are running. They made a mess. And she takes the credit for it.
Yes. That's
yes.
Too. Yes.
And that's, and there we go. And then she ends up going into, like, an art contest where the babies make another mess, but they get caught in the act. However, I guess it's kind of saying about the, how the art community is all fake. They're like, they love it. And she ends up, you know,
yeah.
What do you call it? It's like, I'm lucky part two or something.
I'll say that the Rugrats came for the art community, like, really hard. Cause, like, in All Grown Up, when Tommy wants to be a filmmaker, which is also why I liked All Grown Up, because not only were they my age, like, I grew up with the Rugrats and now I see that they're my age. Like, I watched it when I was 11 and Tommy was 11. He wanted to be a filmmaker and, like, aww. He made a film about people, like, I'm pretty sure it was, like, sneezing. And it was just, like, a compilation of that. And, like, you know, people were looking at him and be like, oh my God, this is art. Like, wow, look at this. It's like, and I just feel like the show, like, definitely creates this, it gives the message to children that art is stupid, which I'm not a fan of. Because art is not stupid. And, like, we're also a generation that has grown up, like, rolling our eyes at, like, modern art. And I feel like a good amount of our television is are the ones who put that idea into our head.
Art is not stupid, but the art community and what they place as valuable and not is what is stupid.
You can say that
stupid.
About any community.
Of course you can. I think the art community, though, is the one that really irks people because... I just saw, you know, the banana, the guy who taped the banana to the wall, and they sold that piece for how much?
Well, so I want to know more about this piece before I defend it or don't defend it or whatever.
Wait, you don't know about this piece?
Tell me more other than a banana.
It's literally that. No, it's a guy taped a banana, a duct taped the banana to a wall, and I think it sold for like $30,000.
Let's see.
And then some guy ate it like a week later and then said that's his contribution to the piece.
I see. So it was duct tape and a banana on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. This is interesting. I still need to mull that over. It does seem really stupid at first glance, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like art is also, just to defend art, it's less about what it's about sometimes and more about how it feels. There's this great work, actually, by Felix Gonzalez Torres. Do you know about the clocks?
The melting clocks?
No, that's Salvador Dali.
Then no.
So he actually did an art thing, and I'm going to send it to you as a chat.
Okay. Ooh.
On Zoom. We're Zoom calling, guys. Bam.
Really peeling that curtain.
So it's called Untitled, in parentheses, Perfect Lovers. And it's just simply two clocks, right, that are programmed to go off and to, like, give time at the same, in the same way.
Okay.
I'm going to read it because it's actually, I think it just says it better than anything I'll say. Initially set to the same time, these identical battery-powered clocks will eventually fall out of sync or may stop entirely. Conceived shortly after Gonzalez Torres's partner was diagnosed with AIDS, this work uses everyday objects to track and measure the inevitable flow of time. When one of the clocks stops or breaks, they can both be reset, thereby resuming perfect synchrony. In 1991, Gonzalez Torres reflected, "Time is something that scares me, or it used to. This piece I made with the two clocks was the scariest thing I've ever done. I wanted to face it, these two clocks right in front of me ticking." And so it's interesting because it's like people, you know, two people were born and were aging the same ways, but one of us will stop ticking essentially before somebody mm-hmm. else, you know. But a clock, you can just put batteries in and you can reset it and like it can start doing time again, you know, but a person can't. So it's just like,
yes. Okay.
So it's like, you know, when you look at it, you're like, this is just two fucking clocks sitting next to each other.
Right.
You know, but if you think about it and especially knowing why he did it, you know, so like, I think that's actually kind of, I think it's really beautiful.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think it is beautiful. And I think the idea is beautiful. I think it's the value of which we put on these ideas that is what irks people, though. Like,
but I think that a piece about two clocks, time, like side by side, that's, you know, evoking what it is to be alive and have time, I think is almost more thought provoking and more touching than, like, you know, some of these films that Hollywood produces.
Well, I don't disagree with you there.
So it's like, but more value. And, you know, more like people will more likely applaud some bullshit Hollywood movie that's really just like using something like the AIDS epidemic to just get money. Whereas this is like a, I don't know. Again, this is going way off topic.
Yeah, we really took a swerve here when we were talking about Angelica being compared to Jackson Pollock.
Yeah. So I just want to say that I don't appreciate the Rugrats portrayal of, you know, art. And like, I feel like it dismisses art as being pretentious and all this stuff. But I also think, you know, it's really, last thing I'm going to say about it is that defining art and what art means to people is, you know, everyone's got their own definition. It's so hard to define it and stuff. So this is a very general thing. But I think it is more about the art community and modern art or contemporary art that mm-hmm. they're, you know, more so have a problem with. But I just know that a lot of people in my generation are not open to it and think it's stupid. And I do kind of blame the TV shows we all grew up that forced that opinion down our throats.
Okay.
And that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Aren't you the one who says, like, we can't blame TV shows for or media for what they teach us?
I did say that. And I think that there's a difference, though, between children watching something and adults. I think an adult knows how to speak for themselves.
You have made that thing, but yeah. that's a trope that we see in like adult shows too, though.
Well, yeah, but I'm an adult and I know that I just because somebody's making fun of it, I'm not going to take that as fact. Whereas as a child, you're presenting the world to me and you're almost like shaping how I'm going to like look at people and shape the world. Just like you were saying the other day in the Friends episode, how Friends gave this impression of what it was to be an adult to you.
No, that's fair. That's fair. All right, fine. There you go. We're throwing our words at each other. We are Rugrats. We are not.
Maybe we should. So, you know, there's not much more to Rugrats. Should we talk now about the reboot and kind of like compare, you know, what the 90s show gave us to what this brand new 2021 is trying to give us?
Yeah, I guess. 2021. Yeah, I think maybe the only other thing left to say is possibly like what the careers that the parents have here are, right? Because Stu is a struggling inventor. How the hell does he afford the mortgage on his home? I think Dee Dee is a house. Is she a housewife?
Well, I was under the impression that Stu was more of the stay-at-home parent and Dee Dee was the one who is more of the breadwinner.
What does she do? I don't know what she does. Was she a teacher?
Let's find out.
Yeah, you look that
she
up.
She is a part-time teacher. Mm-hmm.
She's a part-time teacher. What does that even mean? Like a substitute teacher?
I guess. Or maybe she just, I don't know. Yeah. Like I don't know what a part-time teacher is.
Or you teach pre-K, I guess. You could do that part-time.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, all right. There you go. And Stu is a struggling inventor.
Yes, a toy inventor.
Occasionally, occasionally, I think he makes toys that might sell on the market and stuff, but nothing. He never got rich off of anything.
Yeah.
Drew is an accountant. Charlotte is a CEO, actually, of the corporation that she works in. I think Chaz.
He's a bureaucrat.
Okay, is that what he does? Okay, so he works in legal. Betty? I don't know what Betty does. I don't know what Howard does. I know that Howard is very unhappy at work.
She helps operate the Java Lava Coffee House with Chaz Finster.
What? In the original?
In the new one, it's Betty's Beans. But in the original, she helps operate with Chaz Finster, the Java Lava Coffee House.
Oh, I guess Chucky's dad eventually has a Java house. Okay, there you go. Well, there we go. I just wanted to get their career straightened out because I think that was defined, or maybe it's not. Maybe I'm critiquing the show already, and it's not even that I'm here. I am like, what the fuck were they even doing? The main babies, let's be real. The main babies here were always Tommy, Angelica, and Chucky. Phil and Lil were always very much side characters.
Yeah.
Susie was always very much a side character. And, you know, that's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Here now we're going to go to 2021. I think now the parents' jobs are a little bit of a hot mess, I think.
Absolutely.
And I think it is a reflection of our times, though. So let's talk about this. Let's go. Rugrats 2021.
Yeah.
Did we know this was going to come out?
So when Paramount Plus announced that it was going to be a thing, they said that they were going to revive or reboot a bunch of Nickelodeon shows, Rugrats being one, iCarly being another. And
That's right, iCarly. I thought it was going to be for Hulu.
No, it's going to go straight to Paramount Plus.
Oh, okay.
And something else, which I can't remember at the moment. And my immediate thought was, why? And I still kind of feel that way. Why? Why? Like, Rugrats.
Why?
What about Rugrats, other than the fact that you'll just get the millennial? Because millennials will watch anything that, you know, millennials will more so watch something that they're familiar with than they will watch something that's brand new, it feels like, at this point.
But this show wouldn't qualify this as a show that, like, millennials would want to watch.
No, they want their children to watch it, which therefore
exactly.
They would watch it with
so
them.
So this show is for, what's the current generation called?
It's not Gen Z.
They're not Gen Z anymore? Is it Gen Alpha?
Well,
are we in the
Gen
Alpha
Z
generation?
Is grown up. Let's see. What?
I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's Alpha generation. I think it went to A. These babies
Gen Z
are
is the newest generation born between 1997 and 2012.
And then anything after that is Gen Alpha?
Gen Alpha. Yep.
Yeah. I want to be perfectly clear, guys. We're using these names as they're a fucking thing, but like the truth is they're not a real fucking these terms are not a real thing. Like, these are just creations by marketing departments, so they know how to market to certain demographics, but like they don't mean jack shit, because the life of a person who lives in an inner city at my age is very different from the rich kid who lives in fucking, I don't know, Alpine, New Jersey. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it's just like, we're not, like, it's not, this being a millennial, being a Gen Z, being a boomer means nothing. I think boomer is the only generation that actually is considered generations, because like they were born of a certain time because of the boom of the generational. God, I sound like so dumb, but because of the growth of the population boom.
Yeah. Which is why they're called boomers. Yeah.
Right.
I do think that it's for their children, but I think because millennials are having children, that's also a way for millennials to see it too. And every kid's show is meant for not only the kids, but for the adults too, who can get some of these, you know, jokes.
Not true anymore, I don't think.
You don't think so?
No. Like, you're telling me that Paw Patrol is also made for adults?
I think that
I've had
every
Wait a
single
minute.
Kid
ha-
shows.
Haven't you heard Levi talk about Paw Patrol?
Has he talked about Paw Patrol?
I think him and Lauren have spoken about. Levi has spoken about Paw Patrol.
So for those of you who don't know, Levi is my best friend who has a child himself. So
this is. I feel like, yeah, he has brought this up as television that his son is watching, and has commented on
the quality.
The quality.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I guess I don't listen to him when he talks about his child.
It's okay. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this episode and then you guys are even.
Hopefully he doesn't. But his wife might. Sorry, Laura.
That's great. That's the thing too. Like, okay, Muppet Babies also got revived. Something I wish we covered, but whatever. And we all grew up watching Muppet Babies, I'm pretty sure.
There's a new Muppet Babies?
There's a new Muppet Babies. And
I didn't even know that.
These babies, it's meant for babies. Like, I watch it and I know that they are so saying things for me. They're talking about characters that were on the show before them and doing ties into the old series. And it's like, it works for these kids who don't know anything because it's just, face value. But then the adults who are watching it, they can get it too. Now, I feel like the first episode of this new Rugrats reboot was like that. And then all subsequent episodes were very much just like brand new things that are just meant for like the kids and stuff.
Which is interesting because the first episode was my least favorite episode.
Mine too. Well, I thought it was too long. I mean, these things work as
It was
feminist
too
segments.
Long.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think it worked from a formulaic point of view.
I don't think so either. I thought it was too grandiose in a bizarre way.
Yeah. I mean, it opens up with these vivid imagination. I think that sequence goes on for like 8 whole minutes.
Seriously.
All right, guys, we're going to spoil the shit out of this show. So if you haven't seen it, maybe watch it and come back. But if you don't care, here we go. So the pilot episode of the new Rugrats opens up with the kids on like this adventure. Like, it's like Jurassic Park, basically.
Yep.
And usually when the original Rugrats aired, you would intercut those sequences with like the reality of what's really happening and do that often. So that way, you know, you have a sense of like, we're in these kids' imaginations. This is how imagination works.
Yep.
Here, it's just way too long before we get that cut scene. And it was just it felt outside of the realms of like what kids really would be doing, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing was the storyline felt a little forced, where the storyline is that like Chucky ate worms and now like he's afraid that like he's going to become a worm. All right, fine. I can like forgive that. But like, why? What? Like, then they decide we're going to get dinosaur tooth from the dinosaur in the park.
Yeah.
Pilot episode, I thought, was a tragedy. And I was just like, I remember watching, I'm just like, ooh, I'm not going to enjoy this fucking...
It took me a while to finish it. I had to keep pausing it and coming back to it. And I just kind of didn't feel interested in it. And it was only until it went back to its classic format, which is just like 2 10-minute-long, you know, segment episodes that move really quickly, that I actually started somewhat enjoying the show.
Yeah, once it goes back to its original formula, I think the show starts to work. I think it doesn't go to the formula exactly, and I think that is a little problematic, because one of my favorite things about the Rugrats is how when there's an adult storyline happening in the background, right, that's your B storyline, the A storyline of the kids is part of the resolution, where that wasn't happening in all the episodes. The only episode where that really happened conclusively was the episode where you had a Marie Kondo like character. And that's the one where like they discover that she's a thief because Tommy was accidentally taken by her, right?
Yep.
And that kind of resolves the storyline, right? She's stealing their stuff despite the fact, and coming off as like a cleaner, you know, Tommy helps resolve that storyline. The next episode after that immediately was about a dog. Like, they get a brand new puppy. I can relate to this. Stu wants a brand new puppy. But they're trying to get rid of the puppy. But everything that they do has no meaning, because the storyline gets resolved at the end because Susie's going to take the dog, right? That came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, again, like, there was, like, a little bit of a misconnect here. So, I think, you know, the show's cute, but it's not following the formula, which I guess
it needs
I
work.
Think... And it does need work, yeah.
Absolutely noticed that. I felt like the parents were more of a focus in this one, which I was like, why are we spending so much time on the parents sometimes, you know? Like, I almost felt like a lack of the kids in some of these episodes.
Oh, really? I don't think I got that.
I did. I mean, maybe it was also just because, I don't know. I really was creeped out by the voice that Tony Hale gave Chaz Finster.
Oh no, because even if you rewatch the old ones, I think it was just like he always had like kind of he spoke very nasally.
Yeah, you know, but it was more than nasally. It was kind of creepy in this one. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but like, and sometimes when
just got beef with Buster.
So they changed a lot of the dynamics between some of these parents, right? Which is interesting. Like Grandpa in the original 90s one, you know, he was kind of like just your typical like old guy, old grandpa who was over it and was like, you know, sleeping.
He was
most
from
the
greatest
time.
Generation. Mm-hmm. He was his methodology of raising children was very hands off.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where here, I think he's technically a boomer.
Yeah, he's an elder boomer, I guess. And they made him more of like a hippie. But he's also more of like, you know, you think that grandpa's just like smoking pot. He's also kind of a little bit more hands off. He's just like, old guy doesn't care.
Right. But interestingly enough, here's I think the big dynamic shift. He's the owner of the house. Stu and Dee Dee
moved
in with him, and I thought that was pretty telling of our time, because that's something we see a lot more and more in our age, you know, because of capitalism. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
But the truth is, like, people
and also what we're dealing with right now. the pandemic itself too has also created this dynamic where a lot of younger people are moving back home.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the original series, he moved in with them and they were taking care of him, but he's also kind of helping take care of them. That it's just right. So common. You know, I mean, like they say for millennials, 30 is the new 40. You know, like it's not, you don't,
yeah.
Millennials feel like we don't grow up until we're in our 30s. And that was so not the case in the 90s. You know, like these parents, I'm sure they were probably like 27 years old. And look at how different they look and how different their lives were. Like it's getting harder and harder, I think, for people in this country to, you know, get footing.
Yeah, which I was also wondering, are Stu and Dee Dee in their 30s? I think they're not that they're drawn younger. I think their characters might be a little younger, though.
I think so.
They seem a little more, I think they're a little more immature, right? Well, specifically Stu. Stu, yeah. I mean, Stu is just at this point. So I got no semblance of what he does. Yeah. Right. All I know is that he likes to play video games, and
he
I was
does
just,
like to play video games.
Offended,
yeah.
Because I'm just like, what are they trying to say about men?
Well, but
like, are we lazy pieces of shit?
So there are a lot of people, you know, who have realized that this new generation has actually created an environment where men can be boys for longer periods of time. Quote boys, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because it's like now video games are becoming more normalized, right? Like
yeah, because we grew up with them. We grew up.
We
with
grew
them,
up
so
with them, and like yeah, it's so not something that's result, been around forever.
Right.
But also, be like, you know, guys are still watching comic books and watching cartoon shows and like stuff that, you know, 30 years ago was considered just for children is now something that men and everybody, but I guess, you know, like video games is like something that guys do together, whatever. That's becoming normalized well into adulthood.
Right, you're right, because technically speaking, it wasn't just Stu. Like, Stu was the only one who outwardly did it, but, like, all the other men in the show mm-hmm. wanted to do that, too,
yep.
was also what I was getting from this. So I just thought that was an interesting thing. Dee Dee is trying to be a small business owner.
She's
has, like, an Etsy shop.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, an Etsy shop, I think, is her other source of income. Yep. But anyway, they move in with Lou. That's how they're kind of getting by right now. Charlotte is not a CEO anymore. Now she's a councilwoman. I don't know how that doesn't justify her lavish lifestyle.
Yeah, seriously.
Opinion.
It's like a step down. Like, and yeah, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she's just comes from rich parents.
Well, no, she's ambitious and she wants to be in politics. And I think she has probably higher
financially,
goals.
Financially, though, like how does she?
But financially makes no sense. It's just like you don't get paid that well as a councilman for your local
yeah.
government.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But uh-huh. And I think Drew is still an accountant.
I think so, yeah. I know that.
Yeah, so it's probably, that could be where their money's coming.
Yeah, Betty is just like, she's like an independent small business owner with her coffee shop. And Howard's out of the picture. They just said, we're not going to bring Howard back.
Right. I was genuinely hoping when they revealed that Betty is a lesbian, I was hoping that Howard would be involved somehow as like the sperm donor, the homosexual who also wants to have kids and this was his opportunity. That's how I thought they were going to write it. It would have been so cute. They
yeah,
didn't go that
they
route.
They did not
but
go that route.
We don't know. They might. There's still 5 episodes left. I saw all 5. And like, there's still potential that Howard might come back because the sperm had to come from somewhere. Unless she went to a bank.
I would have enjoyed that too. But so far, at least in the first 5 episodes, he's nowhere to be seen. And yeah. Dee Dee's parents too, we haven't seen yet.
Oh my God, that's right. It's Boris and Yeltsa.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And no mention of Lipschitz.
Yeah,
character.
I'm also bummed out about that. But I guess I'm guessing that, like, do parents nowadays really have a go-to, like,
I'm not sure.
Like child.
Yeah, so it was interesting because with the second episode with, like, the Marie Kondo figure, you know,
right.
They just replaced Lipschitz with kind of like that, where it's like now we're turning to, like, people like that who are supposed to help our lives in terms of mm-hmm. like decluttering and all that stuff that like millennials are more into instead of like a psychiatrist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you find the show entertaining?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I think, I'm actually now, trying to, I just watched so many of them. There was let me just pull up like the actual episodes because I could tell you there was a scene that I remember now. I thought the episode itself wasn't that good, but the one where Chucky had the last balloon. However, there was a sequence that I thought was absolutely hilarious, and it's the one where like Chucky ends up on a catapult for some reason and gets flung up to the sky. You see like the father is trying to run to catch him. I thought that was like a very cute sequence, and I laughed. I actually laughed hard at that point.
Oh, did you?
I thought it was cute. I think the animation worked on that one, like seeing like Chucky like kind of terrified as he's being flung to the sky, and then he grips a balloon to dear life as like, you know, his dad is trying to catch him underneath. I thought that was funny. It worked a great effect. The Angelica with a doll that looks like Angelica was also funny. That felt like a very classic Rugrats episode. Mm-hmm. It would have been more classic had Stu made the robot.
Yes. That was something, you know, that I was like, oh, I guess this isn't going to be a part of this instead, one.
Instead, Stu makes Jimmy Neutron's dog. And, you know, that terrorizes poor Chucky.
Yeah. I thought it was okay. The animation was so different because, you know, I grew up in the 90s and I watched more hand-drawn cartoons, and all of these shows that kids watch now are just so CGI. And like, you know, these characters look so blocky too. It's like weird, like the way that they're done.
I actually
you like it?
Go ahead. Yeah, I found myself digging it by the end of it. I was just like, I think I like this.
Maybe it's because I'm also like, I'm older. I work in film and video and stuff, but like
I'm literally like older than you and
no, their mouths wouldn't match like the voice acting. And that just was really irking me because I was
interesting.
Like,
I don't think I noticed that.
I felt like it was kind of off. Like sometimes their mouths would close before like the voice actor stopped talking or whatever.
It might be just laziness, but
it's like,
didn't bother me.
You know, of course, with a hand-drawn cartoon, that's not really going to match either. But I didn't notice it as much when I was rewatching the originals. There's a lot of millennial humor in this new one, you know, which it should too, because it's more a product of today. And it's obviously these are now the next generation that's being raised by millennials. But it's just, I liked Rugrats better when it was a show predating, you know, this whole like realizing what kind of like lifestyle about millennials were going to lead and who they were going to be. And it was more so just like showing how like we kind of got raised in a weird way. You know, like Rugrats shows what it was like to be us growing up in the 90s. So I guess because of that and because it was my childhood, like I do prefer it. I don't think this reboot was needed. I'm going to go ahead and answer that right now. Do I think this was needed? Oh, no, I don't think I'm getting anything out of it. Honestly, maybe it's also because I don't have kids, but I don't know if I would make my kids watch this. I'm not going to, I have a niece and there's nothing in me that's telling my sister to show it to the baby.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I think it's just, I don't know. I feel like, it's just, again, like, this was just Paramount Plus wanting, you know, people to sign up and giving them a reason. And for me, it's not enough of a reason. Sorry, Paramount Plus, I'm deleting you.
Oh. Oh, that's right. You signed up for the week for this.
Yeah, I signed up for a week trial.
There you go. Okay. No, we have Paramount Plus. I told you we have it because Eddie loves Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, when
that's where that's where their money is.
I'm going to ask for it when All Stars comes out, so.
Oh, you're going to have to apologize to Paramount Plus.
That's true. That's when I'll get Paramount Plus is RuPaul. But what about you? Did you feel like they needed this? Do you need it?
No, I by no means think that this show was absolutely needed. However, I think it's cute. If I had kids, I would probably watch it with them.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was. I think it's entertaining enough where I'm just like, okay, this is fine. Like I said, I laughed a couple of times. I thought when they follow the original Rugrats formula,
yeah,
it's kind of when the show works its best.
Absolutely.
But I think the show. I actually, like I said, I dug the animation style. I thought it was nice and bright. It was, you know, it was fine. I don't think it was needed. But unlike you, I think I would watch this with my offspring.
Interesting.
I watched it with Nico. That counts, I guess, right?
Yeah. Oh, we forgot about Spike. Such a cute
Oh, what
dog.
About Spike? Like Spike?
Spike is still alive.
I hated Spike. Spike is my fucking least favorite one of my least favorite animated dogs.
How could you dislike an animated dog?
I don't know, because he's just like, I never liked him. I never liked Santa's Little Helper.
Oh, you didn't like Santa's Little Helper?
No. The only animated dog that I really loved was the Jurassic bark episode of Futurama.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's one of the strongest episodes of a freaking animated show ever. But yeah, all right.
I also liked Robot from Jimmy Neutron, which the robot dog here gave me a lot of Jimmy Neutron vibes.
Yeah, that's like early 2000s Nickelodeon that I stopped watching. Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, Fairly Jimmy Neutron Odd Parents. Was actually cute. What? Fairly Odd Parents I also liked.
Yeah, that was when I started. That's when I started watching old movies, actually. So that's
I
why.
Prefer that one over SpongeBob SquarePants.
And that's not an unpopular opinion. I think SpongeBob is also kind of, for the older people, has overstayed its welcome. So.
Oh, yeah. It's still going, right?
It's still going.
Yeah, it's just Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, Rugrats used to be the longest running Nickelodeon show. Now it's SpongeBob. And I think that after Fairly Odd Parents, Rugrats is third. So it's still one of Nickelodeon's most successful properties, which is why this happened.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I understand why Paramount Plus decided to dig this.
Yeah.
Dig this out.
I at least thank it for, you know, making me revisit the show of my youth that I so enjoyed.
Yeah. I mean, you should just, I mean, I hate to sound like that person who's always just like, oh yeah, just watch. I used to watch some of the old episodes randomly, but like the truth is I just really did. Occasionally, I don't know what, because when I found out that Paramount Plus had them, I was just like, oh, this is awesome. I want to watch some of these old episodes every now and then.
Yeah.
I had to do it when Eddie's not around because, yeah, as you all found out, Eddie
or else he'll get nightmares. Yeah.
He won't let me play it if he's in the room nearby. I have to like do it in secret, basically. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, that's really all we can say about this Rugrats.
Yeah.
Rugrats thing. I mean, you know.
Hey, well, I mean, we've already been talking for an hour, so we had plenty to say, I say.
Well, so be it.
We had plenty to say, but, you know, what do you have to say? We do want to hear from you guys. And like always, we encourage you to reach out to us. The ways you can reach out to us, you can send us an email. RemakesRebootsRevivals@gmail.com. I kind of slurred that. RemakesRebootsRevivals@gmail.com. We are active on Instagram at RemakesRebootsRevivals. We're on Twitter at RemakesPodcast. We're on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just search for Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. If you like this podcast, we encourage you to tell anyone you know in any way you can and to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or just leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts because these things really do help us.
They do.
And if you actually want to have a conversation with us, we encourage you to call our hotline so we can hear your voice and we can maybe reply to you on next week's episode. The hotline number is 862-248-2326.
Yes. Call, leave a voicemail. We might play it on the air.
Yeah. We've done it with other ones and go back to listen to some of those episodes if you haven't. So
yes.
So yeah. So that's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, okay. I will say one of the things that I really like about Rugrats was its theme song and the music, which is by Mark's Mothersbaugh. And his brother actually composed the music for the new one. But I think that theme song is just, it's so sweet, so pretty. I really enjoy it.
I prefer Maya's Take Me There version of the song, but okay, so be it.
Well, maybe we'll play that on the exit music for this episode.
Oh my god, yes! Maya can sue us.
Yeah, right? We'll just play a little bit so we don't get in trouble. But until next time, stay an original.